141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a dramatic weekend in Scottish football. Holders Celtic are out of the League Cup after losing at Kilmarnock. Rangers warm up for PSV by edging past Morton as Yanis Hadji is left out of the European squad. And Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs, Ross County and St Mirren all safely through to the quarterfinals. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Charlie Mulgrew and Roger Hannah.
Well, Gordon, at round about quarter to two on Saturday afternoon, when Grant Gillespie was putting Morton into the lead at Ibrox, I did not think for a moment we'd be sitting here 48 hours later with Rangers favourites to win the Viaplay Cup. Cyril Dessers rescued his reputation after conceding that penalty with a goal and an assist, and then Marley Watkins and Derek McInnes enhanced their reputations yesterday by inflicting a first ever cup defeat on Celtic's Brendan Rodgers. There'll be a week of recriminations now for Celtic and a week of Euro action for Rangers, Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibs. And I suspect we might mention VAR for the first time this season tonight.
Charlie Mulgrew, it's good to have you just after a nice quiet weekend in Scottish football. A nice easy Monday night for you.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a while, but good to be back.
He phoned me and said just the roundabout. He just wasn't quite sure to find his way back. It was a couple of years ago since we've had him on, Roger Hanna. And we picked a nice night for it because it's been a lively old weekend.
Desperate to get back, desperate to see this new studio, desperate to get talking about this season. Desperate to get my club, aren't we?
I think last time I was late, wasn't I? So I was making sure I was early this time.
I couldn't believe it when at 5:30 the phone rang. I was well impressed. But anyway, if you want to put your point to Charlie Mulgrew and Roger Hanna, it is 01419511025. So do get in touch. Let us know what you made of the weekend's football. Tweet us your thoughts. And let's kick it all off because there was a lot to get through. Holders Celtic are out of the League Cup. Who saw that coming? Brendan Rodgers has never even lost a cup tie of any description here in the domestic scene in Scotland. So Celtic fans, how does that feel? Where did it go wrong? How concerned are you going forward? Or are you confident that that was just a blip and things get fixed very quickly? Give us all your thoughts about yesterday. There were penalty claims. There was all sorts of complaints, I'm sure, as well. So get your thoughts into us, please. 01419511025 or Twitter as well. And of course, it's a massive week in Europe, as Roger says. Rangers fans, how do you feel about PSV? Yanis Hadji out of the European squad. It looks like he's maybe on his way out the club. Is that the right decision or the wrong decision? I don't think it was a vintage Rangers performance either, judging by the calls here on Saturday night. So you could elaborate on those and anything else that's out there. What about you Kelly fans? Are you favourites for the treble all of a sudden, given the way you've started the season? Do let us know. 01419511025. Right, set the scene. What was your result of the weekend? I think I know where you're going here.
Yeah, I don't think you need to look any further, Gordon. In Rugby Park yesterday, Kilmarnock's start to the season has been astonishing. 1-0 at home to Rangers, 0-0 away to Hearts, 1-0 at home to Celtic. They have not conceded a goal yet, and now they've got a quarter final on the telly at home to Hearts. And Derek McInnes will fancy his chances of taking this Kilmarnock team all the way to Hampden.
It's the obvious one, but you need to pick something different. What are you giving me?
I'm going for St Mirren at home to Motherwell. It was the only all Scottish Premiership tie, so St Mirren will be delighted to come through that one.
Happy with that. Okay, goal of the weekend, Roger, who's getting the nod?
Sorry, Gordon, but it has to be Caelan Boyd.
It was good, to be fair.
St Mirren goal against Motherwell, the game Charlie was talking about there. The lads come into the team because of Marco Harris' injury, and it looks as if he's taking his opportunity. When you hear Dermot O'Carroll, the St Mirren assistant manager, touting him for a Northern Ireland call-up, you know he's doing something right.
Anything else out there?
I'm going for Tagawa for Hearts. I think it was some great play for Lowry. Nice feet, and slips him in the side, and he goes and puts it away. It's a great finish.
Okay, I like that. Now let's get critical. Howler of the weekend.
I suspect, as I said at the top of the show, we'll speak VAR in both the Rangers and Celtic games, but there was no VAR at Forth Bank on Friday night, and poor old Stirling Albion arguably paid the price, because a 2-1 down to Aberdeen, there was a real penalty shout, Shaden Morris on Ross Davidson, ref didn't give it, couldn't go to VAR, and Stirling went out.
Okay, who's howling, Charlie?
I didn't see too much, but I would have to say Brian Graham's one in the Hearts Thistle game.
Oh, the own goal.
Yeah, was... he's had a swing at it. We've all been there, and it's just come off in the
tried to clear it that way, and it goes that way.
Aye, I've been there before, so feel sorry for the big man, but that sticks my mind.
Right, finish on a positive. Top performer, top man of the weekend.
Top performer. I need to hear the last 2 weeks, Andy Hallaby's called him David Wilson, but his actual name, and people will soon know it, is David Watson, 18 years of age, centre of Kilmarnock's midfield, the centre of everything they did right in these games at the start of the season, and the young man's got a very big future ahead of him.
Dale McInnes for me. I think that the start to the season, Roger's already mentioned it there, three clean sheets against three good teams, and at the weekend there, a great result. Great defensive performance again, very similar to the Rangers game, and yeah, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Kilmarnock are flying. 01419511025. Right, whilst you get your calls in, let's start getting some reaction from yesterday. So it feels like the obvious place to start. Kilmarnock fans, I know you'll be desperate to praise your team, no doubt about it. Celtic fans, I suspect the opposite for you. You don't get this feeling very often on a Monday. It's not often we deal with cup defeats, cup exits for Celtic. Where did it go wrong yesterday? Is that a worry going forward? Is there a concern about this start to the season now? Obviously, with big games around the corner, just let us know all your thoughts, please. So, Brendan Rodgers, part in it, of course, as well. 01419511025. He says the team needs to show more quality, but he says the Kilmarnock defeat highlights just how successful the previous trebles were.
Yeah, but we're just not at the level, yeah, in terms of performance. So, it's a tough place to come, of course, but we need to show more. We need to have a greater physicality in the game, and then when you've won that battle, then you need to play with more quality. And sadly, we didn't play with that. I think when I've come in here before and won trebles, I think people may think that's just what you come in and do. It's a very, very difficult thing to do, and as you see today, I think it magnifies the achievement from before. However, it's a new cycle now, and I want to win every game as a Celtic manager, so today it's bitterly disappointing. Of course it's always a setback when you lose a game and go out of a cup competition, but we get 24 hours to get over it, and then we've got a long season ahead with many games and many things to play for, so that's what we work on.
Let's kick it off then on the phones. Let's go to John, who is on the line. John, how would you sum up that performance yesterday?
Abysmal, mate. Abysmal and shocking. Kilmarnock, they'd have eight new players. See, me and Celtic, they're knitting together. So was Celtic, a few players. But it was, your captain's not kicked the ball for weeks. That's McGregor. The boy Taylor's went back away. I don't know what way Rodgers wants to play him. Abada, he runs a bit like Chink Mini Heat. Who else? The other the Chinese boy, his boy, the Pinocchio yoga, the other boy, his ball control yourself.
Japanese, I think you mean Maeda.
Japanese. But as I see, Rogers was fighting him at Rogers after the game. He turned around and says, we need quality signings. He must have known that in the pre season. They've been about four or five quality signings. Now, young boys are 22, and the statement after that was, Celtic will need to change their signing policy, their transfer policy. Surely God, he must have known that when he was taking the job on. He must have sat down with the director and says, I'm going to be got the money and I'm going to be signing who I want. No, I'm not saying we'll change the signing policy. Signing policy is not working. If you were coming up to the Champions League games shortly, and if we go with that team, we don't get any guys inside for the next 10 days, we're going to get scudded. I don't mean our Real Madrid's and Man City's not. I'm talking about your Arabic teams for these other countries. We will get scudded with that defence. That's my point of name, mate.
John's just filleted everybody. And it's funny because I've heard it described as a headless chicken, but never a chicken with nae heed. It's the same thing, but I've just never heard it described the opposite way around.
Variation on a theme.
Which is fine. Go on then, take it away.
John's point. A few people, when Brendan Rodgers came back to the club, a few people were talking about signings. And I'd said at the time, you know, if it's not broken, you don't need to fix it. But that Celtic team yesterday, for various reasons, there was no Alistair Johnson, no Cameron Carter-Vickers, no Carl Starfield, no Rio Hitati, no Aaron Moy, no Jota. That's half a dozen of the players who were first picks, key men for Ange Postecoglou. For various reasons, they weren't there yesterday. And it might not be broken, but the treble's gone, so the first cracks are beginning to appear. And I think John could be right. I think Brendan Rodgers might react by going and getting three or four players now before the end of the month.
at the same time, Charlie, like, as true as that may be, if you're talking about where Celtic fans want to go, this is an all-conquering Celtic team. Missing a couple, are we meant to believe that they need superstar signings to beat Kilmarnock? With no disrespect to Kilmarnock,
first of all, I think it shows the standard that Celtic have set in this country in the last 5 or 6 years, that we're sitting here and it's a bit of a crisis we're talking about, because Celtic are out of a cup. I mean, they've been out of one cup. That's the second cup they've been out in the last 5 or 6 years. There's a quadruple treble in there. Ange going out of a cup this first season, then wins a treble the next season. The standard, Ange also won a double. So the standard's been unbelievable. So first of all, there's a lot of credit need to be given for that. Now that we're talking about the out of cup, is obviously very, very disappointed. Celtic fans, because the bar's been set so high, the Celtic fans are obviously going to be disappointed. But we need to be realistic. We need to understand that Rodgers needs to get his own stamp on the team, get more signings in, bring players he wants in to play in the way he wants to play. I know he's got a lot of the same principles as Ange, the way he wants to press. He didn't show that last time he was here, the way he wants to pass the ball for the back. But he's obviously got a few tweaks, and he needs to get his players in that think he fits his system.
The thing is, Roger, this can all be, both can be true, I guess, because yes, you can't just win trebles all the time. Brendan Rodgers has won, was it 24 cup ties in a row?
Yeah.
He was going to lose one at some point, but this one, the first one, Celtic fans have, you know, that roller coaster over the summer where Ange Postecoglou leaves. But Brendan Rodgers is back, you know, and the dominance is going to still be there. Don't worry about it. And then in the first cup tie, you're out and the treble is over. That's why it's hard for fans like John to take, surely.
Yeah, but it's strange, Gordon, because the last two weekends, Celtic had scored 4 against Ross County, they'd scored 3 against Aberdeen up at Pittodrie. But we're getting Celtic supporters on this show complaining about the performances. You know, John mentioned two names there, Callum McGregor and Greg Taylor. They were mentioned last week as well. Joe Hart is a name that keeps coming up as well. He mentioned Abada is now getting an opportunity regularly to step into the role that Jota filled mainly. And I thought Abada would go in and settle and take that role, and he hasn't really taken it on. And you look at the bench yesterday, and, you know, in years gone past, Charlie will remember because he had played against him, in a game like yesterday, Celtic could have sent on Giakoumakis and he would probably have scored a goal. They don't have a Giakoumakis there. You know, there wasn't what you would describe as a centre-forward on the bench to come on and try and get the late equaliser. So Celtic supporters are asking questions about the depth in the squad. They are asking questions about the signing policy. And they are looking at this Champions League group draw with a degree of trepidation, having seen the first 3 domestic games.
Thank you to John. Let's go to Stuart in Cambus Lang. John said it was abysmal. Stuart, how would you describe it?
I just think it was a wake-up call, to be perfectly honest with you. I think we look a shadow of the team that Ange left behind. I think we lack a couple of physical players in the team. There was a ball yesterday made, I went for a 50-50 ball, and he just didn't want to know. When you play for Celtic, you go for that ball, and you win that ball. We didn't have enough of that. We were brushed aside the Kilmarnock players yesterday. We didn't win any second balls. Kilmarnock won them all. You know, I even when you look back to the Ross County game, Celtic could have been 2 down after 10 minutes. You know, I'm really concerned about the team this year. I really think we need a couple of physical players and we need a goalkeeper badly. Because for me, Joe Hart will no do. He needs to get a goalkeeper. And I think Rangers, to be fair to them, they have done tremendous in the transfer market. I don't think there was much between the teams last year, but they've strengthened their team far better than we have. And I just think we need physical players and a big Giakoumakis up front that could knock the ball down to Kyoga to put the ball away. It was a wake-up call yesterday. And you know something? I'm scared that we get Man City here in this Champions League because I'll go in the cupboard and watch it for the cupboard. You know, it's quite scary actually thinking about playing them. You know,
how did this happen then, Roger? How, because fair and credit to Kilmarnock, that always gets lost in it. They've been excellent, as you guys have alluded to, and they've strengthened, they've got better. But for all the pitch and for all the difficulties that can come with it, Celtic went down there and blew Kilmarnock away a couple of times last season. How did this come about so quickly?
You find the Kilmarnock and Livingston pitches are only bad when Rangers and Celtic lose there. When Celtic get down and score four or five, nobody mentions the pitch. So yesterday, Celtic didn't perform anything like the levels they've performed at in recent times. Five trebles in 7 years, Charlie. They've just gone and blown teams away. Yesterday they didn't. It came off the back of two patchy displays. Now, if you score seven goals in your first two games and win them both in the Premiership, it's difficult to be too critical. But supporters were phoning in after those two wins against Ross County and Aberdeen. They did have concerns. Those concerns are just magnified by what they saw yesterday. And I think Brendan Rodgers will go away this week. Celtic, again, because they're in the Champions League groups, they've no midweek action. I think Brendan Rodgers will go away this week. He said after the game on TV, he always has 24 hours to grieve for a performance like that. So I think when he gets his head up, when he comes out and ends the grieving process, I think he'll look at that squad and he will look at where he thinks he needs to strengthen in the next 2 weeks.
Are we seeing a scenario, Charlie, where as good a manager as Brendan Rodgers is and everything that he's got in the CV, following that Celtic team from last season maybe is a bit of an unforgiving task? You know, sometimes when a manager changes, it's because a club's in crisis, but it wasn't the case. You come in with a Celtic team that is not only winning everything, but winning it in such a convincing style. And it's almost like if you fall anything short of that, then you're up against it.
Regardless of who followed Ange, was going to be a massive, massive task with the bar that he set. The same as whoever followed Brendan Rodgers was going to be a massive, massive task. Brendan Rodgers, I've got no doubts that he's the man to do it, because he's done it before. He's been over and he's been over the course and he's won things. But the Kilmarnock, going back to the Kilmarnock pitch, I mean, Kilmarnock set up to stop Celtic. They don't look to play football or sell, they look to stop them, and that's fair enough. There's different ways to win games. If the ball's moving slower, that suits Kilmarnock, because that split second that ball takes longer to get somewhere, they can shuffle as a team, especially a back five, and they spend their whole game on the edge of their box, defending their box. They've recruited well this year. I'm taking that away from them, because they've signed Stuart Finlay, who was brilliant under Steve Clark, defended his box really well. Dees for Inverness looks a really good signing. Mayo looks brilliant. They've got him permanent for Rangers, if I'm right, if I remember rightly, that he was on loan last year. And the boy Marley Watkins, he gives the physical presence that Doig gave last year, but he's also got the legs and the pace. And when you've got that, when you're defending deep and you've got that pace that can go in behind as much as a physical strength, it's a big ask. They've also got midfielders in there that work so hard, that must be so fit. It's going to be a difficult place. I think that's the last team in the draw that Celtic would have wanted, I think.
Yeah.
The way they've signed this year, they're going down to that pitch, and I think that they nearly went down last year, and I think they recruited brilliantly this year, and it'll be a tough place for MD this year.
Does it help, Charlie, that he's recruited players that he knows, that he's worked with before?
And they all know the league as well, don't they?
Donnelly, Kennedy, Watkins, he's worked with them all somewhere in the past. Does that make it easier to organise for a day like yesterday? Or, when we're forgetting, they've beaten Rangers as well.
Well, it does, because, and it's not just because he knows them, it's because they suit the style. They know what they're going to play. They're a back five. They know they're going to have to defend their box. They're all comfortable with that. Stuart Finlay's done it under Steve Clark. You've got the midfielders who you've mentioned there, who know that they're going to go man for man a lot of the time. Dale McInnes likes to go man for man, and that's a lot of work, because you get people moved in the midfield, and you did a lot of running and covering, and you're also tight to your defence, and also having to go up the pitch when you break. And they've got Marley Watkins up there, and Kyle Vassell, who's also a player that was good for them last year. But Marley Watkins, he can hold the ball in, and he can run. So that pace in behind, when Celtic play that high line, when they're forcing you in their half, and they're up against you, usually that's a big strike comes up to you. You know he can't run there, but when the player can run behind and get that pace, it gives that wee bit of threat. So they're definitely looking like a good side, and I think a lot of credit has to go to Kilmarnock rather than
criticism
of Celtic.
I don't know if that'll catch on. This is Glasgow after all. Stuart, are you concerned overall, or do you think Brendan Rodgers will get this right and get it right quickly, or are you planning camping out in the cupboard a lot this season?
I think I'm in the cupboard a lot, but he needs to get it right. You know, he really does. I mean, it's only one game, but you know, they just need players in there. They need big physical players. I mean, Rangers have bought players, they've bought big players, physical players.
But what was wrong? There were no big physical players last season, Stuart, and blew everybody away.
But I don't think there was much between the teams last year, to be perfectly honest with you. I really don't.
Well, Celtic won a treble, though, without any real league title challenge.
Well, I disagree, but I just think the Old Firm games are a bit... I think whoever wins the Old Firm games will win the league, basically. You know, but we cannot go to Ibrox with that team. I just don't think we can.
No, not too long, not too long to sort that out. And before then, thank you, Stuart. It's 01419511025. We're up and running. It didn't take as long. What, we're 3 weeks into the season, and we've got a proper Monday night Clyde One Super scoreboard on our hands. Get your calls in. We'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Charlie Mulgrew are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And absolutely no prizes for guessing what the main topic of conversation has been. That win for Kilmarnock against Celtic yesterday, and the phone lines are red hot. You can get in touch or tweet us as well. So let's dive straight back in with Michael in Erskine. How would you sum up your feelings after yesterday, Michael?
Not happy. I was on a couple of weeks ago, just then, the night before Brendan done his first interview, and a lot of people are saying, should he apologise to Celtic fans? And a lot of people said no, but I came on and said I think he should. After yesterday's performance, I think he should come out and apologise for that. For watching that, coming from a treble winning side, to watching that yesterday is terrible. I don't know how he thinks he can get away with saying, or they need to blend in, they need time to settle in. You don't get time at Celtic Football Club to do that. We need to hit the ground running. We're going into a Champions League, and we played that game yesterday. I'm going to be embarrassed with the Champions League draw, so I am. How am I going to play?
But that's the point, Michael. He says, actually, you know, winning trebles isn't easy. The bar's been set really high. You've got to accept that you can't, you know, win trebles all the time. I'm paraphrasing a bit. Do you not agree with any of that?
No. That performance yesterday, I mean, I could have went on and played better. And I hung my boots up a few years ago now. Not one Celtic player I can give pass marks to. They were all terrible. There's a few there that, obviously, a few choice words were saying yesterday about them. I just don't think we're strong enough. I looked at the bench and I thought, who's going to come on and change this game?
Oh, Roger, is that fair? Well, are we at the no pass mark stage?
Well, Michael's laying a lot of the blame at the manager's door, Brendan Rodgers. But a lot of these signings who were on the bench yesterday, they were guys that were coming to Celtic, you know, regardless of who the manager was gave. These are guys who have been scouted. Yang, Kwon, you throw in Tilly, I know he's injured and wasn't on the bench. But, you know, players like that were coming to the football club because that is the recruitment model that the football club has been following. I think the next couple of weeks you'll get a real insight into where Brendan Rodgers thinks the team is situated at the minute. Because, like Michael and Stuart and John, who have called the show, Brendan Rodgers won't be happy with that performance. He won't have wanted to have suffered his first cup defeat at Kilmarnock. He won't want to be the manager who has lost the treble. He will want the kind of success that he had first time around at Celtic. And if he doesn't believe the players who were out there yesterday and the players currently in the squad, if he doesn't believe they can deliver that success, I think you'll see him moving into the transfer market, not necessarily seeking out the players that fit into the current model, but seeking out the players he thinks will enhance the team now.
Yeah, but to sort of reword what I asked Charlie earlier, though, is that cutting Brendan Rodgers too much slack? Do Celtic need multi-million pound transfers to beat Kilmarnock when they've won a treble last season?
It depends, because you'll always get this. Rangers lost at Kilmarnock. I've seen Celtic teams lose at Kilmarnock before. I remember Robbie Keane's debut down there many years ago. Chris Maguire scored the goal and they get beaten. So it's nothing new. But I think Celtic supporters, including the ones who have phoned the show tonight, Gordon, are looking at that spell against Ross County and that spell in the game at Pittodrie and long spells of the game yesterday. And they're worried that, you know, without the Jotas and the Starfelds, obviously, Hatate, Carter Vickers, Johnson are all injured. But without these guys, they're not looking as effective or as efficient as they were in the last 2 years under Ange Postecoglou. And they feel they need guys on the bench. Giacomakis has been mentioned a couple of times. But the likes of Giacomakis, who could come on and maybe turn games back in their favour.
Charlie, what have you noticed about the style? Because Ange Postecoglou's was so distinct, and Brendan Rodgers has been here before. Is he try? He's not going back to what he tried the first time, though, is he? Is it a different version? Are we seeing it yet?
Well, what I've seen is a striker coming deep, so he comes in off into the 10 position and kind of creates a box in midfield with the other number 10 and the two number 6s, whereas Ange had a 6, 2 8s, and the striker always giving length and looking behind. And as you see, and you've seen me under Ange, Kyogo was always offside or always looking to go behind, and that gave space for the two number 8s, whereas now he's coming off, one of the 8s is dropping down as a 6 and he's coming and making a box, which doesn't give that kind of length to the game. So that's the main thing I've noticed. But I think Brendan Rodgers will know that he needs players in that are going to suit. He needs two or three more signings or something, and that can make all the difference. You name the players that didn't play yesterday. Jota, we played against Jota last year, or the year before, sorry, and the game was tight, and he was the one that looked like make something happen. He would hit the bar, he would get the crowd up, he would make something happen, and players like that, if you go back to the games, the difference he made in the games was frightening. So two or three more signings and it can make all the difference. I think yesterday was a perfect storm. Kilmarnock, nothing to lose, couple of good results, high in confidence, new signings, all fitting into the system, and Celtic a bit depleted.
Michael, how confident are you Brendan Rodgers gets this right quickly?
Not at all. Based on yesterday, no. I think there was no... Honestly, the commitment, and there was no... I mean, Callum, it usually is, grabs the game by the scruff. I didn't see that at all. I didn't see MD come in, Taylor, don't get me started. And I'm looking at the bench. Charlie's saying two or three signings. I think we need more. That bench was so weak. There was no player that can come on and change that game. Like Charlie said, like Jota. Jota can change a game. Nobody else can come on that bench.
It's an interesting point, that, Michael, because Celtic were chasing the game in the last 20 minutes yesterday, and I think Brendan threw in three substitutes, didn't he? Turnbull, Haksabanovic and Yang. Is that correct? Ange Postecoglou regularly turned to his bench and put on all five. Almost every game he would use all five because he had five who he could put on, and he knew there were a quality that it wasn't diminishing what was already on the pitch.
Okay, but then what about those individuals? And are we now, is Haksabanovic not an option to go on and change a game? Is he not good enough anymore?
Last season you were probably looking, and Charlie can correct me about this because Charlie's played against them. Probably the first choice front three was Maeda, Kyogo, and Jota, and then quite often in the last half hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it was. In the first half of the season, Ange Postecoglou could look to Giakoumakis, Abada, and then perhaps Haksabanovic. Sometimes it was Forrest he would look to. Now those guys who are sort of in reserve, the likes of Abada has now got to go into the team, and more is being asked of him. And some of the callers will tell you tonight, he maybe hasn't taken the game by the scruff of the neck the way that Jota did. It doesn't look as if he's terrifying opponents the way Jota terrified Premiership defences. So then, rather than looking to the bench to Abada, you're now looking to the bench to Haksabanovic, and he can score a really nice goal. Haksabanovic, you've seen it in closing stages of games last season, but does he actually offer the kind of quality, X factor that Ange was getting off the bench last season?
Well, Roger, the players you mentioned there, four or five of them are all Ange signings. So they come with the confidence knowing that the manager signed them to do a specific role in playing the team, and they've got the confidence of that. Yeah. Now there's a new manager there, so he should be given the same finances to go and buy his own players and go and sign players that suit his system.
Well, thank Michael. We'll squeeze one more in. I think we're doing good for time. Chris is in Canberra Slang. What are you thinking, Chris? It's been fairly critical so far. How are you feeling?
Not too bad. Hope you're all well, guys.
Good, thank you. Thank you.
Really, just like what Roger's saying, like, I can't agree. So Roger's talking about last year Ange would make five substitutions and they were his own signings and they were coming on. It's arguably the same players that are the majority of that are still there. I don't think Brendan... I'm glad Brendan's there. I think he's the man, but I don't think he likes the squad that he's inherited, and I think we need to move away from this treble winning thing, I think it comes down to either it's radically different, the system he wants to play, and I don't think he likes the players that are there. Now, I know the transfer market has been the kind of South, like Koreans and Japanese players, and they were incredible under Ange, but I'm not feeling it. And I'm talking about the pre-season games. Every game I've seen Celtic this year, I'm not feeling it.
But see, overall then, as a club then, Chris, was the smart play not in the summer to try and keep it as close to last season as possible? This was so successful, not only the results but the style as well. How do you go from a position of strength to all this worry that you fans have given us on the phone tonight so quickly?
Well, Brendan's been there for nearly 3 months, so there's been plenty of time to suss this out. There's a blueprint there with the backroom staff. John Kennedy knows the players, so I don't even think they can revert back to a system. It's just, I don't know. I think, is it Charlie that's on? Mm-hmm. I think he said we need to, I think he needs his own stamp here to sign his own squad, and there's a big problem because there's good players and there's talent in the squad. I just don't think they're going to suit his style.
See, Zach, does that not strike you as problematic as a club if you're on top and yet you need a big revamp because you've got a new manager? I mean, I get it. I know there's going to be slight tweaks here and there, but you wouldn't have foreseen this. You know, when Brendan Rodgers came back, everybody thought that he would be able to sort of carry on the
success. Well, when Brendan Rodgers came the first time, he signed, his big signing was Scott Sinclair. Mm-hmm. He came on in his first game,
yeah,
and he scores a winner away to Hearts.
Yeah, but the Celtic team he inherited wasn't as strong as this one, surely, was it?
Well, strong, when you're talking about strength, you're talking about within the way Ange wants to play. And he was so clear in how he wanted his system to be, and the players were so clear. And he'd worked with Japanese players before, so he knew exactly how to manage them and treat them, and every person's different. So I think that there's so much to it: man management, tactics, your type of player. Rodgers had worked with Scott Sinclair before, so he brought him in. He goes and scores a winner away to Hearts, and a goal. Mm. Everybody's delighted, and it gets everybody going, and it's a last minute goal, and that gets his career started. And goals change games.
And if you take things in isolation, Gordon, yesterday wasn't the same, because if you look at the personnel yesterday, Anthony Nelson didn't play every week. You know, it was Juranovic, and then it was Johnson. Yeah.
Big miss that, Johnson.
Two new centre halves, Carter Vickers and Starfield, together were extremely effective for 2 years. These are two young, you know, centre halves. They might go on to have great Celtic careers, but you get the impression that back pass in the first 2 or 3 minutes by Lagerby Elka, under Hart's foot and went away for a corner, just seemed to unsettle Celtic. Greg Taylor's not playing the way he played. If you look at the midfield, Odin Holm didn't play last season. O'Reilly didn't play every week when it was McGregor, Hatate and Moy. So that's no Moy, no Hatate. Abada didn't play every week because Jota played there. So it was different. And I think it shows the importance of Johnson, of Carter Vickers, of Hatate, and you know, guys like that. And also, I do think, you know, on the rare occasion that Celtic chase games in the last 10 minutes, I don't think there's enough strikers in the building. You know, an injury to a 21-year-old, who wasn't a regular, leaves them without a recognised striker on the bench to throw on when you're in need of a goal.
Thank you very much to Chris on 01419511025. Before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Yeah, it was our first cash register call of the week. Ross from Cowie, 1000s. He plans to take a trip to Benidorm and buy a new car. I don't know if he's going to drive it there. It's your chance to win £27,000 tomorrow when we make the next call to enter. Text YES to 61025. That is YES to 61025. If you get the call from us after 3 p.m. Tuesday the 21st, answer within 5 rings and make sure you know the correct cash register amount. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entries £2 or call 0330 880 4523. The calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £27,000. Charles is coming up next. He's not happy with the referee and VAR. We'll hear from him next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie McGrew and Roger Hanna are here at 0141 951 1025, and it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. Get in touch if you want. Let us know your thoughts on the weekend's football. I knew this would happen on the live stream. There are comments coming in, right? First quiz of the night. People are praising one of you two's hair. Which one do you think it is?
Well, there's only one of us has got any.
An easy one for Roger Hanna. Mr. RFK says, because you're on YouTube now, is that you pulling in the big guns, Handsome Charlie, with his gorgeous hair? Can we not have Handsome Charlie and Big Nose Daz to make the uglies feel good, he says. Well, that's the calibre we're going
I'm
for.
I'm feeling under pressure, wedged between you two. And now look like I look like Hugh Keevan's elderly neighbour.
See, listen, pulling out the big guns now that we're on the camera. I'm telling you, 01419511025 on the phones and the usual Twitter as well. Charles is in Greenock. Take it away, Charles.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad. My point really yesterday was about the VAR or the lack of. There's two incidents in the game yesterday, two game changers, which didn't have VAR. The elbow on Greg Taylor that led to him going off the park, it was a clear red card. It led to him going off the park when Kilmarnock scored, and Celtic down to 10 men, when Kilmarnock should have been down to 10 men. The second one was Hats Ivanovic. I think he's mentioned earlier on that he looked for him on, come on and do something. Well, he did. He won a penalty that never got gave. Right at the end, his leg was clearly caught. As clear as you see it, as clear a penalty as you'll see. And again, VAR turned a blind eye. Mm. What chance we got?
Just this more of a kind of technical point. It never turns a blind eye. Like, everything's checked, and the Scottish FA will tell you they do literally hundreds of what they call silent checks. We think that if you don't see the ref going to the monitor or there's not a pause in play, that it's not been checked, which is not true. However, that's just a housekeeping point. The debate is, should Hats Ivanovic have been given a penalty?
It was one of those, Gordon, at the time, watching it live, I thought, oh, there's a penalty. And penalty wasn't given. And then it was checked by VAR and it wasn't given. And you hear former referees speaking about it since then, and they've all agreed with the decision. I can see why Celtic fans would think it's a penalty. Others tell me Hats Ivanovic initiated the contact with Lewis Mayo. So it's going to be a bone of contention, but I seem to be one of the few, if any, people who at any stage of the incident thought it might be a penalty.
I didn't think it was a penalty. I think that if you look at the Kilmarnock player, he puts his leg in and he stops. So he doesn't outstretch for the ball. He goes to and he stops. So he kind of fakes it. And then Hats Ivanovic leaves his leg in. And it's.
You think he's initiated a bit of the contact?
I think he has. If you look at it, his legs went halfway and stopped. And he's had to stick his leg out to kind of to get the contact.
If you were Lewis Mayo, you'd be angry if that was given against you.
You would be sick. Aye, you would be absolutely sick. But at the same token, you can understand why he's went down, because he's felt the leg coming and he's thinking it's going to come across his body, and he decides to go down, but the leg doesn't come straight across. He stops and then he goes down. But the elbow is an interesting one, because as much as Greg Taylor's low, there is a bit of contact there with an elbow, and going by the rules of the game, you would maybe think that could have been a sending off.
Is that why he's getting away with it? The only thing I can think of is, does the referee on the pitch and the VAR think that, you know, he's not, we're on TV, I can do this now, Gordon.
You can, yeah.
It's almost like you talk about handballs and arms. And
this will be good. Let's see you recreate
elbows,
this.
Elbows
this is new for this season.
If you're going corners and handballs, you know, if that's a natural position. So if the ball hits you down here, you're not going to get a penalty given against you. Your hand's out there, you'll get a penalty given against you. Dan Armstrong's running and the elbow's at what the officials might deem to be a natural position. He's not gone like that to elbow. I'm raising my... For those listening on the wireless, I'm raising my elbow high.
It's disturbing.
I think that's maybe why Dan Armstrong hasn't been punished. The VAR will have had a silent check. There is no doubt they will have looked at it, and they have backed the decision.
And then that's before we even get to the most frustrating phrase for any football fan, is that it has to be a clear and obvious mistake by the referee. Charles, from one Charles to the other, Charlie McGrew, I suspect that's not what you necessarily wanted to hear. You're pretty certain you think that Hats Ivanovic one was a penalty.
I thought he motioned, well, when he's seen it in slow motion, it wasn't just his arm was going forward, it wasn't like his arms were moving backwards and forward. He motioned his elbow towards Greg Taylor's face. His arm went out and outwards in an outwards direction towards his face.
I think that's right as well. And whether he's thinking it's his body, he's trying to get across, because you see players going like that to get their body in, which is never a sending off, because you put your arms across, you see strikers doing it all the time, you centre half to get across them. But the fact that Greg Taylor's face is down there might indicate that it's serious foul play and it's a sending off.
Charles, is it all about that? Is that where it went wrong for Celtic? You know, was it sort of the ref's fault, if you like, or is there more to it?
Well, there's some interesting points that you've talked on during the night. Talking about Brendan Rodgers compared to Ange Postecoglou and what he's done with Kyogo. As Charlie pointed out earlier on night, and I think most people spotted that, Brendan Rodgers is obviously Kyogo coming deeper to get involved in the game. Somehow he sees that as part of his game. There's two incidents yesterday where Kyogo was just half a yard away, and you're wondering, you know, if he'd have been left to his own devices and doing his previous game and playing off his shoulder the last defender, might he have got that extra half yard? So I think he maybe have affected Kyogo's game in a negative way in that sense. But the defence, I think Joe Hart's been unfairly criticised. Bear in mind all the plaudits he was getting last year and all the accolades he was getting. I don't see how the Celtic are playing high risk football. That's what they call it, high risk, high reward football. And they're doing with a lot of their keepers unexpected today in the Premier League. So I think Joe's got far too much criticism coming his way. He's a great keeper.
I'm desperately keen to see what happens in the next couple of weeks, just to see if Brendan Rodgers addresses that. It makes no difference to me, but there's clearly a massive split there. Charles is on to back Joe Hart and say he's a great keeper, and I see lots of Celtic fans on social media on the complete opposite side of that fence.
Yeah, and Joe Hart has been a target of some Celtic fans for a period of time now, even stretching back to tail end of last season. If you remember, just prior to the game against Hibs at Easter Road, he was coming in for a bit of stick, and I'm not saying there's anything to do with the stick, but Ange Postecoglou rotated the team at that stage, and Scott Bain came in, and Celtic lost 4 at Easter Road, including a bad error by Scott Bain. And I think then Celtic fans thought, we'll have Joe Hart back in the team. But he does seem to be a figure that they're unconvinced by now. Personally, I think there are other areas of the Celtic team that need strengthened more than the goalkeeping position.
I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, stretching back to Joe Hart's career when he was at Man City, it was part of the reason why Pep Guardiola moved on, because he wanted the goalkeeper to play with his feet as well. And it's a real important position now, and it's the way the game's moved on in the last 10, 15 years, incredible. And the way it's going to move on the next 5, 10 years is madness, the way teams are playing out. You see Brighton doing it. So obviously Brendan Rodgers wants that. It's not natural to Joe Hart. He done it well last year with a couple of scary moments, but got away with it. And I think that Rodgers, when he first came to Celtic the first time, he identified that as something he really wants. And he brought in Doris de Vries, and then he ended up brought in Craig Gordon, who done okay with his feet as well. And I think that Joe Hart's a great goalkeeper and came in and done a great job for Celtic. And there's no reason why he can't going forward. But if Brendan Rodgers, it comes back to getting his own players in and making sure that he gets what he wants, because that's the style he wants to play.
You were a Celtic centre-half, Charlie. When you looked behind you, what kind of goalkeeper gave you the most confidence? The one so you could, you know, if a guy get past you, you're thinking, this guy's going to save this. Or do you like a goalie who can beat you in the five-a-sides?
Right, well, I played with Fraser Foster and Craig Gordon, and two great keepers. Couldn't speak highly enough of either of them. Especially the time I had with Craig Gordon, with Fraser Foster, he was top notch. But the game was different then, and I didn't work under managers that demanded you play for the back. And there's a reason why teams play for the back, and sometimes people forget the reason why teams play for the back. And I think it's because they want to draw the opposition into your box, which opens up space at the end of the pitch. So they want you to press them, so then they can play through you. A couple of passes, some people call it risky, but the rewards are you get to the other end of the pitch. You bring them into space you don't want them, the game's about controlling space, and then you go to the other side of the pitch and you can go and score where we can hurt the teams. So I think that back then, I loved looking back at Craig, Craig Gordon and Fraser, especially Fraser Foster. But also, on the flip side, I'm a football player centre-half, so I'd love to have played under a manager that demanded be played for the back. And as much as I used to take the ball off the goalkeeper sometimes at my 18-yard line, you need a manager that is demanding that and wants that to be part of his game and believes what he's teaching, because if you don't believe what you're teaching, you can't teach it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Charles. I think we agree to disagree on some of the refereeing points. I'm sure we'll get back to them, but it was nice of you to take the time, and it is that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This will be interesting because you've got Charlie Mulgrew, who did this show years ago. Did you play Beat the Pundit last time you were in? I think you did.
Didn't go too well.
And you're next to the undisputed king of Beat the
Pundit.
Never
been beat?
Oh no, I've been beat.
Very rarely.
Oh, who beat
Charlie?
You?
He's so good that he starts on minus one. He's got a handicap on Beat the Pundit.
This is a nonsense, Charlie.
So anyway,
you were described as me to me when I walked in the building tonight, and I've obviously met you before and realised you know your stuff, but Gordon says you know everything in the whole world. There's nothing you don't know. That's no, what you're
described like
that. As. No.
Anyway, 01419511025. You can take on one of these two at Beat the Pundit, but you need to get your call in before seven.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Roger Hannah are here at 01419511025. If you're just joining us, you've missed quite the reaction to Celtic's defeat at Rugby Park yesterday. I think the first word we heard was abysmal. There was a chicken without a head running about. I can't remember who that was getting referred to. Someone wants to watch Celtic's Champions League games from the cupboard after yesterday. They're so fearful of what lies ahead. It's not like us to get swept up in the aftermath of a game like that. So keep those thoughts coming. If you Kilmarnock fans, I'd love to hear from you and get some genuine praise in there for the job that you did, because it was not as if it was a one-off. You're absolutely flying at the start of the new season. And as Roger quite rightly said at the start of the show, at about 4 o'clock on Saturday, there was probably quite a lot of negativity around about Rangers' performance, because it was underwhelming, I think, to say the least, against Morton. There were concerns going in to PSV, but you know the way Glasgow works, sometimes when your big rivals sweep in and do something worse, that will take the limelight. So Rangers fans, if you're focused on yourselves, I wonder what you're thinking. How do you look back on Morton? How do you look forward to PSV? And the big news today, Yanis Hadji not in that European squad, and maybe on his way out of the club. Is that the right decision or the wrong decision? Let us know. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's go with Lee, who's in Motherwell. How's it going, Lee?
Sorry, how's it going?
Good here, Lee. You sound up for this. Have you ever played before?
No, mate.
You've got two really different options here. Roger Hannah, who's so good that he starts on minus one. Charlie Mulgrew, who's not played it in years and said he was rubbish the last time. So fairly obvious you're looking for a tails here, yes?
I am Mark Mulgrew, aye.
Mark Mulgrew. Sonny terms, I love it.
I want you and Ollie.
Heads, it will be Roger. Tails, it's Mulgrew. Let's see how we go. And I'm afraid, Lee, I would have loved to have fixed that for you, but I can't do it. I can't do it.
I'm a man.
I know, Lee against Mulgrew. I'd have loved that. Anyway, it is, I'm afraid, it's heads. It's Roger Hannah. That a sigh of relief I heard from you there.
Gutted.
He's distraught, not isn't he? He's distraught.
Called me out and I couldn't even get back up.
Exactly. Right, let's give Roger some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. Lee, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay? Right, good man. 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. What type of animal is St Mirren's mascot?
Badger.
How many teams were in last year's World Cup?
32.
Who is the current number 11 at Celtic?
Maeda.
Who were the last team to beat Scotland men's team in a competitive game?
Pass.
Who's the only team in the SPFL with Rovers in their name?
Albion Rovers.
Who was the only Scot to score in the English Premiership at the weekend?
I don't even know.
Guess one.
So, John McGinn.
Right,
John McGinn.
Just in time. We'll be giving him about 10 minutes. Let's bring Roger Hannah back. Roger, can you hear us? Can you hear me now?
Oh, I've got you now.
You're bopping along there. You know, people can see that now.
Yeah, I noticed halfway through. It's quite catchy. Eurythmics.
Nobody needs to see your dad dancing. You forget this is not just radio anymore.
That's true, come on,
liven up. 30 seconds, same set of questions to Roger. Your time starts now. What type of animal is St Mirren's mascot?
A panda.
How many teams were in last year's World Cup?
32.
Who's the current number 11 at Celtic?
Abada.
Who were the last team to beat the Scotland men's team in a competitive match?
Denmark.
Who are the only team in the SPFL with Rovers in their name?
Raith Rovers.
Who was the only Scot to score in the English Premiership at the weekend?
John McGinn.
Marley Watkins played for which Scottish team last season?
Aberdeen.
How many Scottish teams has Jack Ross managed quickly?
Three.
Okay. Lee, would you have rather played Mulgrew?
Aye.
I loved Lee's first answer because I thought he was going to get it. So what type of animal is St Mirren's mascot? And I could hear Lee's thought process. Give me a black and white animal. What's a black and white animal? What's a black and white animal? And he went for badger. But it is indeed panda. So I was curious. I got that one. You could see the thinking. But this is no badger. So it's 1-0 to Roger. Except you're minus one. 0-0. Yeah. 32 teams in the World Cup. Lee got it. So we're still level. Lee Alabada, where's number 11? Lee went for Maeda. So Roger goes one up. I knew this would catch even you out. Stato, the last team to beat the Scotland men's team. We've tried to forget about it because it was that bad, but it was a while ago. Would you have got it, Charlie? Republic of Ireland 3, Scotland 0. Remember it in the summer?
The June game, yeah.
It was terrible.
But was that after Denmark?
A really good run since then. Yeah, June 2022.
Okay.
Yeah, Denmark was because we then won the home one against it. Anyway, so still one up to Roger. I feel for you, Lee, because you said Albion Rovers, but they dropped into the. They did, I know. So it's Raith Rovers. Roger goes two up. We gave Lee one or two extra seconds on his last question, and he got John McGinn.
Right.
But so did you. You stay two up, and Marley Watkins played for Aberdeen. Roger Hannah striding off into the distance. But Jack Ross has managed 4. Alloa, St Mirren, Hibs and Dundee United. So there we go. Well done. Unlucky Lee. Good man. Thanks for taking part.
Cheers, Lee.
Brilliant. How would you have done, Charlie? No pressure, of course.
I think I would have got 3 of them wrong.
Okay.
Who doesn't like the... Remind me, who doesn't like the mascot questions? Who's bad at... Baz is bad at geography. Who doesn't like the mascots?
There's a few of them that are bad at mascots, I think. Yeah, mascots seem to catch most people out on here. Because we've had questions about Kingsley, the Thistle one, Steelman, the Mother. There's a few of your colleagues.
I wouldn't get many, but I would have got that St Mirren one because I remember years ago laughing about how flat the outfit was.
So it was like,
it was like a deflated panda. It looked like, almost like a cat.
If St Mirren's panda is listening, no offence, you can get in touch. Tell Mulgrew that he's got it all wrong. We had the Killy one recently as well. Something about Nuts, what's his name?
Nuts the Squirrel.
He because he's got his own Twitter account.
Right.
So he was offended, I think, that one of the pundits got a question about him wrong recently. There we go. That's big business, the mascot game. It certainly is. Because that was it. There are two pandas. Because the guy who's in the panda suit at Air, his name's Chaos. Chaos the Panda.
Right.
He actually phoned in and beat Gordon DL, beat the pundit. Now, he's obviously the former Air manager, so Gordon knew him. He's been the mascot. He's been Chaos for quite a long time. So, yeah, mascots are a real theme of the game here. Anyway, let's go back to the phones before we go down a road we don't want to. Robert is a Kilmarnock fan on the line. Robert, it always happens. It is the way of the world in Glasgow and the West. The so-called wee team wins a game, and it's all about what the big team did wrong. So don't waste your opportunity. Praise your team.
We were outstanding. And good evening, guys. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing, Robert?
We were brilliant. From front to back, especially Dees. Dees is amazing. That guy is really, really good. I was a bit sceptical when he came, but you know what? He's proved me wrong. Guy is outstanding. I think McInnes he's actually done, I think, what Steve Clark did. He's gave us a system, and he's managed to get players to follow that system. And against the Old Firm, you really, really need to be, you need to do what you're told, be a manager 100% of the time for 90 minutes or you will lose goals. But we were brilliant. We did to Celtic what we did to Rangers. And you know what? All I've heard from various people around about where I stay, because I live up in the middle of Old Firm country, that it's the pitch.
Same with Brendan Rodgers. He says, "Why's Kilmarnock a fortress? The pitch. Do you know what? It's no a pitch when we're getting beat week in, week out on that on there. They never mention the pitch. I'm fed up listening to it. It's their team. It's they didn't show up. They didn't have the commitment or the desire, and we did."
I always think you're more than entitled to not like it. Nobody can make you like it. But again, if we said at the start of the show, you're following Ange Postecoglou, big shoes to fill, all that stuff. The pitch was not a problem for Celtic last season because they were so good at it.
Just because they won on it doesn't mean it wasn't a problem.
No, but what I mean is, though, it can be done. Sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking like, oh, well, what do you expect? Of course we can't go there and impose our game, but you can.
Yeah, you can win on it, but...
But they not only won on it, they won very convincingly on it last season.
Yeah, but the ball, as a fact, the ball moves slower on it.
I don't doubt
so
that.
So what is a fact is the ball moves slower, so that means that Celtic are a quick passing team that move the ball quick. If they go there and win and score goals, then you could argue that if it were in a slick grass park, they probably could have scored more.
Is that a level? This is going to be a strange thing to say. I covered a game for Super Scoreboard there last season. They played Dumbarton in the Cup, and Dumbarton nearly turned them over. I think they needed Jordan Jones to score in stoppage time at the end of the game. Is the pitch a leveller? Because if it's slower, it's not going to help Celtic's game against Kilmarnock or Rangers' game against Kilmarnock. Likewise, it probably didn't help Kilmarnock against Dumbarton.
Well, let me explain it to you. The ball moves slower, right? So when Celtic are passing the ball in their shape, it's taking that extra half a second, a second to get where it needs to go. That's enough for a Kilmarnock player to shuffle and move and change the gap, or nick in and get the ball, or their defence, their back five to move to defend that pass. And then in this flip side, Kilmarnock don't want to play slick football on the ground quickly. What Kilmarnock want to do is play it long and play it in behind. And when you play it in behind, or you play it long and it bounces, it stops. Whereas on a grass park at Celtic Park, if you play a long ball in the channel and it skids off the surface, you can keep a high line because you know it's going to skid out. You've got the byline to back you up. Whereas this skids, it's like putting a bit of backspin on a golf ball.
I've never had that feeling. I'd love to, though. But I know what you mean.
Oh, you must have. You've just said you're a lucky 14.
One.
You must
a
have.
Lucky one.
And it's like hitting out the rough. It's going to bounce on.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Look, Charlie obviously plays on them, knows much better than us, Roger. I don't doubt that. I'm talking about reaction. Last year, it was almost like, we are so good that even this pitch can't stop us. So we just can't have it both ways, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
No, listen, in the list of things that went wrong for Celtic yesterday, I think the pitch is probably quite far down the list. Robert's quite right. All credit is due to Kilmarnock.
Absolutely.
I think some people would think when they beat Rangers in the first day of the league season, it was a one-off. They've shown since then it's not a one-off. They've gone and got a really creditable point at Tynecastle. They've knocked Celtic, the holders, out of the Viaplay Cup. And the next thing for Kilmarnock now is to go and show, starting at your place, at Fir Park and Saturday Gordon, that not only are they well organised, as Charlie said, and they're well drilled by Derek McInnes, and they fill in all the gaps, and they're difficult to score against. The task for Kilmarnock now is to go to places like Fir Park and show that going forward, they've got enough to go and win games. Because if they can do that, they can maybe get into the top six.
We're falling into the trap, though. This was about praising Kilmarnock, so let's do it. Robert singled out Robbie Dees. I think you mentioned him at the start of the show as well. Charlie, been a really, really good signing, hasn't he?
Was he a kid at Celtic?
Brilliant. He was, but I don't remember him. He wasn't there when I was there, or he must have been a lot younger than a full-time youth team player or whatever that I would have saw. But no, top performance from him yesterday against Rangers. It suits him. We're talking about buying players that suit a system. Dees, perfect. Stuart Finlay, who I mentioned earlier, perfect. Marley Watkins, ideal for him as well, plays on the break, can hold up the play, physical presence. Mayo as well, who plays in that back five. And I keep talking about the back five as well and the striker because I think that's a huge part of it. They defend the box so well, and there's no space behind them because they drop so deep, but they've got a game plan, and it's to play without the ball.
I mean, this could have been a so-called nightmare start to the season, Robert, couldn't it? When you look at the fixtures, Rangers on the opening day, Hearts away, and then you go and get the draw that nobody wants, the serial winners of every cup competition, it feels like, for the last number of years. You've gone and made it look fairly straightforward. How satisfying has that been?
It's absolutely brilliant. It really, really is. When I looked at the start of the season, I thought, oh my God, Motherwell away, Hearts away, you know, Rangers at home. I thought, oh, here we go. But do you know what? We have been outstanding. And can I just remind the panel, you see that pitch? That's the same pitch that Stevie Clark had Kilmarnock playing under. And we play good football on the ground, just like we're doing now. We don't play long ball football. So I don't know where that pitch, like a long ball playing deep. Kilmarnock play a good, decent football on that pitch.
Where can you go this season, Robert? Where can Derek take this team?
If we keep going the way we are, and there's rumours floating about that there's a striker coming in next week, although nobody's named anyone, I think top six. I'll be brutally honest with you. If we can get top six and a run in a cup, I'll be over the moon.
Robert,
absolutely over the moon.
Robert, you're saying you play football there, and I'm not saying you don't at times, but if you look at possession stats of your last three games, you play the majority game without the ball, so you play on the break.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm not saying it's not a good way to play the game. It's not the way I would want to play the game. It's Del McInnes' style, and he's doing brilliant way, and he's recruiting to back that up. But I'm saying a pitch doesn't necessarily make a difference to the way you want to play, in terms of you just want to sit in and not have the ball, and I'll make the other team have the ball. So slow play suits you because you win it and then you play forward quickly.
Do you think they make top six? Come on.
I think they will do this year.
Roger.
No, I'm not changing my pre-match, pre-season predictions. I took your boys. I took Motherwell to insect. Come on, just dim us out. But I don't think they'll be bothered the way they were. You know, Charlie touched the
started point. Brilliant.
There was relegation worries last year. I don't think there'll be any relegation worries for them this season.
Maybe eyeing up a place in Europe if this continues. Thank you to Robert, though. Let's bring in James, who's a Celtic fan. James, how do you feel about yesterday?
Hi, guys. Good evening, Dolphin. Charlie.
Hi, James.
Right, James.
I thought it was a very Jekyll and Hyde performance again. Last week, Joe Hart made a comment some time against Aberdeen, and he says, I've been playing the same way for 2 years, and it's going to take time to adjust, which I think he's right. Could you tell me, Charlie, as a footballer, what formation did we have yesterday? Was it 5-4-1, 4-4-2, 5-4-3? Because I couldn't make it out.
I hope it wasn't 5-4-3, incidentally, but...
James, I think we talk about football moving on now, right? And I think when you look at the football now, it's not necessarily about formations, right? It's about where you're. So you look at any team and just say it says in wherever you're watching it, or we're playing a 4-4-2, right? So at what point of the game are you in a 4-4-2? When you've got possession, when you don't have possession, when are you in a 3-5-2? Where are you when you're building it up? What's your team looking like? What formation are you in? When do you actually see that formation? So when we talk about formations, we talk about it's fluid. I think that it can be a four, one, two, three. It can be anything. It can be a back three times if one of your fullbacks pushes on, and that means you've got three. You can have two sixes sitting, then you've got two behind the lines, and you've got three up top. It's so fluent, and I think that's what a big thing that Brendan Rodgers is trying to do. He's trying to bring in, have the striker coming off and make that box in midfield, because he feels like that's more effective than having the striker just up the top, and it gives a chance for the wingers to maybe take that space in behind that Kyogo used to take last year. And he comes off, as we've seen against Ross County, so we can't praise the goals against Ross County yet, Kane, when it doesn't work. I mean, when he came off against Ross County and the centre half came with him or took a step towards him, O'Reilly and that get in, and that's what I think that the main differences are.
James, I mean, I think the reason you're asking the question is probably the most revealing point here. It sounds like you're not seeing things that you like yet. It sounds like you're, I mean, are you worried going forward, or was yesterday just a blip?
I think Celtic are like a jigsaw puzzle. You've got to put all the pieces together. Now, Iwata was the Chinese player of the year last year.
Japanese.
Why isn't he on? Aye. Now, I thought the two young boys who were centre-half done reasonably well, and so did Holm. And what did he do? He takes Holm half and puts on David Turnbull, who had a nightmare against Aberdeen. The two full-backs, I don't know what's happened to them two, but they're going backwards. Watch Taylor in particular. He's perfect. I think it's his first game of the season. He's passing, shocking. He's running backwards and forwards. He's no making tackles. He's no... I don't know what it is, and I'm going to criticise McGregor, who is an outstanding player. He seems like a wee boy lost. he doesn't know what he did with the ball. If you look at maybe we played before, the two full-backs went forward. All the balls went to Callum McGregor. He was the main orchestra man. He sprayed the ball over the park. What we're doing is we're hitting the ball over the tap now. Now, Brendan Rodgers is a fantastic manager. If we try to get our self-respect back in Europe, well, that team yesterday was short. It's not nice to actually say to players, you were rubbish, but they were. It's embarrassing. I don't know what happened to the team yesterday. That's what talk about formation. You need to want to take the ball and make something. You kept looking for somebody to make something happen. Like if the centre forward, Kyogo, he was coming back to the halfway line to get the ball. I've never seen that in a Celtic side.
Just very quickly, because James hits on an important point, we were a bit late for this break, but was there always a danger that Celtic's fullbacks were the ones that were going to be hardest hit by the change in manager because of how differently Ange Postecoglou used them?
I think the whole team will take time to adjust because he was so adamant on his style and he had a way of playing. And I think that one player, you talk about Callum McGregor there, who's an outstanding player and has been the most consistent Celtic player now for years, he needs teammates round about him as well. He can't do it himself.
There was a real structure there last season, and guys round about Callum, literally round about Callum McGregor, because the two fullbacks would come in and Hatate was at his side permanently, and maybe Moy wasn't too far away from him. Now, the difference now is that the two fullbacks are staying where fullbacks used to stay, out wider, and Callum's sitting almost as a six, as you would say, Charlie, and other guys are going on, particularly those, you know, when Kyogo's coming short, Turnbull and O'Reilly, particularly in the Ross County game, are pushing on. So if your fullbacks are out here and your two other centre midfielders are on there, it leaves Callum sort of isolated.
Let's leave it there. We're very late. Thank you, James. Much appreciated. 01419511025. What about you, Rangers fans? What did you make of the weekend? No Yanis Hadji in the European squad. Is he on his way out of the club? PSV coming up. We'll answer those questions next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Charlie Mulgrew are here. It's 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Please do get in touch. Still plenty of time. You can join in on the Twitter, like I say, we're on the live stream as well now, of course. You can get to see Roger Hanna and Charlie Mulgrew in all their glory. Why wouldn't you want to? Hopefully you're enjoying it. We've got a good full-time teaser for you. So that is where you two team up and try and answer the question sent in by the listeners. And it's a good one this week because it's relevant, shall we say. Nikki and Alexandra.
A full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Tackle your customers' spaces with made-to-measure wardrobes.
See, I forgot about the dramatic music. There we go. I was speaking over the top of it. But anyway, Nikki and Alexandra sent it in. Relevant because of what Hibs are going to face this week. Can you tell me the last 10 goal scorers for Scottish teams against English teams in European competition? So can you tell me the last 10 goal scorers for Scottish teams against English teams in European competition? Charlie, you're in good company because Roger will be flying on these, I'm sure. Any that spring to mind for either of you?
Lewis Ferguson. Against Burnley.
Well done, Charlie. Any that jump out at you? Because it's the last 10, so going back a bit for some of them. Scottish teams against English teams.
Simon Donnelly, Liverpool.
Not that far back.
What about Moussa Dembele?
Against
Celtic against Man City.
Mm-hmm. Twice, I think, didn't he get a double? Okay.
And did Kieran Tierney get that one at home?
Do you know, apparently, I think that went down as an own goal. So
is it given it Raheem Sterling, is that
right? Yeah, I think so. So you're in the right sort of neck of the woods. Questions on the live stream, by the way, if you want to see it, you can read it on there.
What about David Templeton at Anfield?
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. There we are. Told you, in good company. Right, that's 3 of 10. We'll give the guys a bit more time. Thanks to David for sending it in. Nikki and Alexandra for sending it in. And if you want to do the same and hear your question used on the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. please do. Let's switch focus to Rangers. It was a 2-1 win, a lot closer than many people would have anticipated against Morton at the weekend. And now straight on to PSV. So let's bring in Graham, who's a Rangers fan. Graham, what's on your mind tonight?
Good evening, panel. Nice to speak to you again.
And you? Hi, Graham.
Graham.
Ah, yeah, I've got a couple of points actually to make. My first one is regarding Giannis Hadji being dropped from the European squad tonight. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering whether this is either Michael Beale feels he has to find a space for Rabi Matondo given the performance he's given recently, or he's unhappy with the vociferous press conference which Giannis Hadji gave on Sunday, and he's perhaps a bit of a power play. So I was just wondering whether the panel think that it's a bit of both, or he's made the right choice.
Tell you what, let's hear from both, right? It kind of like just outlines where they are. First of all, let's hear from Giannis Hadji, because I know a lot's been made about this, but Roger and I were actually there. We were in the room. And I don't know, well, you guys can decide, but I'm not sure he said anything outrageous, really, to be honest. Let's hear. Giannis Hadji says he's just the type of player that wants to start every game. He respects Michael Beale's decisions, but says he doesn't necessarily agree with them.
Every football player wants to play. I'm obviously disappointed about the situation that I am. But I respect the gaffer's decisions. That doesn't mean I agree with them, but I respect them. He's the football manager of this football club, so I'm a simple guy. I just love football. I train 100% on a daily basis. I come back from a one-year injury. They know who I am. They know my history at this football club and what I did. So, I just want to play football.
Okay, Giannis Hadji's place in all of this, they are outlined. And Michael Beale today admitting the midfielder's future could lie away from Rangers. He's looking for a regular starting place, and Beale says he's been assessing other options.
No, I mean, Giannis spoke after 3 or 4 days of pre-season about, you know, he missed a year. You know, I brought Giannis back into the team against Partick Thistle last year very early into his rehab, and it was clear at that moment he wasn't ready. Over the summer, he's worked really hard to be fit. I wouldn't say he's at optimal fitness right now, and I think the conversation with us has always been very honest. He's a player that I have a strong relationship with on a personal level, and his desire is he wants to be a main starter and play every single game, and no one's got that guarantee here at Rangers. He's competing with Todd Cantwell for that role, and maybe Sam Lammers and one or two others. Tom Lawrence is now returning. So it's more what does Giannis need to get back after being out for a year with an ACL, and those conversations and options Giannis and his agent have been looking at for the last week or so. So in the background, there's been a lot going on.
I was reliably informed whilst we were hearing that squad for this game was actually submitted at the end of last week.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's not on the back of this.
No.
It's not this power play that Graham suggested or asked about. And to be fair, was there anything wrong with what Giannis Hadji said for you, Charlie, as a player?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with what he said there. He clearly wants to play in the team. It would be more worrying if he agreed with Michael Beale for not playing. As a player, I think you want to play in the team. You respect their manager, and you there's a way to do it. You try and train your way into the team. You try and work hard. You try and lead by example and get your head down, because there's plenty of players that in the past that have thrown the toys out the pram and don't do that. So I think that he's right in what he's saying. He wants to get in the team, so he doesn't agree with what the manager's doing in terms of him, and I think that's fair enough.
What you would say, Roger, I mentioned it earlier, you and I were there, we heard the full thing. It was very strong from Giannis Hadji. I'm not saying there was anything wrong with it, but it was strong. He was very clear. It was obvious he was trying to get a clear message across. He kept saying, I feel as I'm fitter than I've ever been, yeah. So don't worry, it's nothing to do with me being unfit. I'm mentally in a good place. He said something like, I don't have anything to prove. He said, I've won individual awards and trophies here as a player. It was a real advert for himself.
You have to suspect that on Saturday afternoon, when Giannis Hadji's saying those things, he knows he's not in the European squad. So he must have real reservations about his future at Rangers. So are those remarks aimed at maybe managers elsewhere who are considering making a move for Giannis Hadji? He's saying to them, I'm as fit as I've ever been. Mentally, I'm in a great place. I've won things in the past. I'm ready to go. Because you really, if you can't get into the 25-man Rangers squad, you have to wonder about his future. Michael Beale mentioned the names here: Cantwell, Lawrence, Lammers. You can throw in Kieran Dowell. You know, there's loads of players can play in that position. Loads of players who are seemingly ahead of Yanis Hadji in the pecking order at the minute. I think he'll be gone by the end of the month.
If Yanis Hadji was training, he was the fittest, and he was top his game, and he was brilliant and better than these players, Michael Beale would play him. It's as simple as that.
Yeah,
he obviously isn't better than what's there. Michael Beale's eyes, for sure.
What about in your opinion, Graham? So let's assume, well, it's a footballing decision, this. It doesn't look like it's in any way linked to what Yanis Hadji said. So is it the right call for you, or has Michael Beale got this one wrong?
I think that when Hadji's came on, every time he's shown guts, ability still there in the feet. So, you know, the desire is there from him. It's I guess the problem is he's trying to find a space, and you know, also you have to load your squad with homegrown talent as well. I mean, I think Scott Wright was in the squad. I don't know if he still is, but you've got to think that Hadji would get ahead of Scott Wright in the squad.
But you need your allotted number of homegrown players, you're right.
Exactly. You know, I think that if we're not going to play him, then we have to reluctantly sell him and get money for him. But I wasn't actually aware that this had been announced or called before today.
No, to be fair, I think you're not alone, Graham. I think, you know, that is the assumption. And it was kind of announced today, if you like. But I do think behind the scenes it was maybe sort of known. And as Charlie says, he's not convinced the comments would have been enough to do that anyway. Graham, it certainly looks like he's going to look to leave the club, or that's likely. Would that disappoint you?
It would disappoint me, yeah. I love it. I love Yanis Hadji. The guy, if you cut him in half, he bleeds blue. Gives everything for the shot every time he plays. And given the fact that how hard they worked to get back from that injury, you know, I would be disappointed. Absolutely. I've also got a second point, if I can squeeze in.
Just quickly, let's go for that one first, because I think I'm glad you said it, because I think a lot of people feel that, a lot of Rangers fans feel that way about Yanis Hadji, and then a lot don't. There seems to be this massive sort of divide, and because I appreciate that he's, you know, I think there was a couple of games where they won narrowly and he got the winning goal, and I think his numbers were quite good for a period. But he never strikes me as someone who's ever played a real main starring role for Rangers. But then David Graham saying he loves him.
Well, it's the same with every footballer. Everybody will be divided in their opinion. Majority sometimes like a player, majority don't. Half the fans do, half the fans don't, looking for different things. Ultimately, the manager needs to decide. He needs to play the player that he thinks is going to do the job and do the best for Rangers.
What do you think about him as a player?
Without seeing an awful lot of him, he looks like he can come on and change a game and score a winning goal, as he's done before. In terms of working hard, he looks like he works hard for the team. But when the fact that Michael Beale's went out and spent money on similar players and brought players in that position tells you that he's not the biggest fan of him, or he thinks he can get better.
See what I mean, Roger? And I appreciate there's a massive injury in there, right? I do appreciate that. But there's now a number of Rangers managers where he's never really been the main man that will go and start big games and feature
and
heavily.
Listen, it was a horrible injury. I think everyone is glad that he's over it, and he's saying he's physically stronger than he's ever been. I just think Rangers and Yanis Hadji have moved in opposite directions. On the face of it, you would think he'd his best time under Steven Gerrard. Michael Beale was in the building at that stage. You would think Hadji might be a player.
Well, Glenn Kamara's shown that it just doesn't work like that.
100%.
He was apparently Michael Beale's absolute favourite the first time
I actually
round.
Think the best thing now for Yanis Hadji would probably be to move on and kickstart his career somewhere else, a bit like Glenn Kamara.
Sorry, Graham. Right, your other point, we'll squeeze it in if we can before the break.
Very, very quick, I promise, Gordon. I must preface this that it's not about my team personally, but given that we could potentially have four teams from the SPFL in European competition this season, should the SPFL have postponed the weekend games this weekend, and given the teams that are still trying to qualify every chance to recover and be ready for the following leg?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of people talking about this, Graham. Stephen Naismith, I think, was the most recent. It's just something we don't seem to do here. I mean, there's PSV,
England
their games
don't
off
really
the
do it either. I'm not saying that's right, but just as an example.
I think Rosenborg did it before they played Hearts as well.
So is this a European thing and we don't do it?
There was a Rangers coach, Neil Banfield, speaking on Friday. He was asked about it and he said they would rather play. They would rather go to Dingwall at the weekend.
Get more minutes in the legs.
More minutes. It keeps momentum going. It's what the lads are used to, particularly this time of the season. So he was quite content that Rangers didn't get this weekend off.
You've done the grueling European qualifiers. What would you prefer?
Well, I would give them the choice. I'd give the team that are in Europe the choice whether they want to postpone their game and prepare for the European game, or they think it's a good chance to get a game in because it's still early in the season, and that'll be a better preparation for them. So I would give them the choice. I mean, I think a lot of time the SFA take their yardstick for the Premier League and follow on for that. So I think that it would be good. I think it would be really good to do what the European teams do and give them the choice.
Would make for a very quiet Saturday show, Gordon?
I don't fancy that at all. It doesn't suit us, Graham, so therefore we can't do it. Thanks a lot, Graham and Bells Hill. On this teaser then, looking for the last 10 goal scorers for Scottish teams against English teams in Europe. So obviously it's relevant this week because of Hibs. You've got Moussa Dembele, Lewis Ferguson and David Templeton, I think.
What about Scott Arfield?
Yes, the most recent one. Charlie, anything that springs to mind? Is this the Roger Hanna show, as it often is on a teaser?
No.
Yes, I've got nothing.
Well, I'm trying to wonder if you
I always like to try and get a
what games were there?
Yeah, if Simon Donnelly's too early, surely Nakamura.
Yes.
Celtic against Man United. Would be one.
Five, give me one more guess.
Hesselink.
Yes.
Down the
He's
road.
Done it. Get He's in. Done it. Right, we'll take a breather and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie McGrew and Roger Hanna are here. It's 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We are working our way through this full-time teaser tonight, and it is a good one. So thank you very much for sending it in. It was Nicky in Alexandria. It's a cracking question. We're looking for the last 10 players to score for a Scottish team against an English team in European competition. Hopefully Hibs do something similar, albeit they'll be up against it this week. You have given me Scott Arfield recently, Rangers Liverpool, Lewis Ferguson, Aberdeen Burnley, Dembele, David Templeton. Great shout, Hearts against Liverpool, wasn't it? And Charlie got one. He got off the mark with Jan Venegård of Hesselink.
And now he's flying.
Go on then.
Patrick Roberts.
Yes. And that was Etihad, wasn't it? Was it 1-1?
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers.
Scott McDonald.
Yes, Celtic v Man United. Okay.
Now, I seem to remember Massimo Donati scoring at the Emirates. No?
Yes. That's a great shout.
That was an Eduardo Condom. Out of penalty, dived over Arthur Boritz.
You would have lost me on that one. Well done, Massimo Donati, which I think means only one to get.
One to get.
Okay, we will leave it there then until the end of the show and see if we can squeeze it in. Let's bring in Peter, who's a Celtic fan. How are you feeling about the weekend, Peter?
Charlie and Roger, thanks for having me on.
Hi, Peter.
I'm disappointed, obviously, because I wanted the team to win. But I guess my main point was, I must also say, I don't think we're going through a crisis. It's far too early to come out with anything like that. I think the team's disjointed and we're going through a transition. But the main point was, if you're going to have a defeat, then have it now, because that might trigger some transfer activation before the window shuts. If we had went to Ibrox and then scraped through a result at Ibrox, then, you know, that might have put up a different perspective on the whole transfer activity. Personally, I feel that the team have been struggling a little bit from about February. We didn't have the best of finishes to us. We won Scottish Cup, we won the treble, so it's a bit, you know, I'm not saying we didn't have the best of finishes. But if you actually look at the way the team were playing in the last third of the season, I thought we were struggling a little bit. I don't know what's going on just now. You know, obviously Ange's gone, there'll be players missing Ange. Jota's gone to Saudi and he's on $190,000 a week. I don't know if it's turning heads. I think the whole Saudi situation is turning a few heads for a lot of players. But there might be quite a lot of variables. But the main point is, it's not a crisis, and I do think we need to make some signings before the end of the window.
Sometimes you hear this, and I get it. You know, it's like a silver lining, Roger. But ultimately, you know, losing games, never mind knockout games, is just never a good thing here.
No,
because you're almost used to winning trebles if you're a Celtic fan.
I know the point Peter makes. It's a variation in Gordon DL's old thing, isn't it? If you're going to lose one, lose it early.
But you'd rather lose one of those league games, maybe, that you can make up for somewhere down the line.
And I know what Peter means as well about Celtic's form at the tail end of last season. Not sure if it was February, but certainly once the league was clinched, I think there's an inevitability that you drop levels a little bit. And Celtic did that after the league was won. and they got the treble to beat Inverness in the cup final. They deserved the treble last season. But maybe this is a hangover from last season. Maybe it is a hangover from Ange Postecoglou going and Jota going and Moy and Starfield and people like that going. And it's now going to be up to Brendan Rodgers to arrest any kind of decline before the decline becomes a crisis. Peter's right, it's not a crisis just now. Far from it. You know, we've seen crisis in football clubs before. This is only a blip, a hiccup. It's a costly win for Celtic because they can't win the treble. But it's now, between now and the transfer window closing, it is a big period for Brendan Rodgers.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers or people above him will feel differently about transfers because of yesterday?
Naturally, I think they will, aye. I think it'll be a wee shock to think, right, okay, we need players in. We need two or three signings at least, I think. We need our best players back fit. Right back Johnson, need to get him back as quick as they can. Carter Vickers needs to get, I don't know what's up with him, he needs to get back in the team. And I don't talk about the bad run they were on for February. I mean, I don't know exactly when the bad run started, but did Carter Vickers not miss a few games?
He missed a spell as well, yeah.
He missed a spell, coincided with that. He's a massive player for Celtic. I mean, when we look at the Ross County game at the start of the season, he makes blocks, vital blocks that were goals, virtually goals. So he's a huge, huge player for Celtic.
I mean, I think it's, maybe it's natural, Peter, you get a setback and then you reassess. But at the same time, I think that's healthy that one 90 minutes alters your thoughts. Should big football clubs not be sort of above that? If maybe that's the wrong phrase, but you know what I mean? Have a level of structure and a level of planning that can't be influenced either way by one 90-minute performance?
Yeah, of course they should. And that's the point I was making at the beginning. I'm not seeing it as a crisis. I don't think my sort of perspective on it is altered at all. I think what's happened over the last few years at Celtic, I mean, we've also been, it's been probably the most successful, apart from the Lisbon Lions, probably the most successful period in our history. And trebles have almost become normal. I'm 64 years of age, and I remember when trebles were certainly not normal. I grew up watching the Lisbon Lions. I've seen a couple of trebles under Jock Stein. But, Ted, I think we've got to get our mindset back into the fact that you kind of win the treble every year, you know? And at the end of the day, you know, whilst, don't get me wrong, I would have loved the team to win yesterday, but maybe this is a bit of a wake-up call. I remember when Rodgers came in, when Desmond came in for Rodgers. It was on the back of a defeat to Rangers, I think it was in the semi-final of the Cup. I know for a fact, I mean, the board were reeling at that. And the first thing that Dermot Desmond done was he went in and get Brendan Rodgers in. So we'll see if we have a similar reaction to this. I don't think it's the same as maybe getting beat with Rangers in the semi-final. Rangers have got a stronger team now. They weren't as strong as they were. They're stronger now than they were then. But I'd like to see a reaction from the board. It's just going to be unpredictable what's going to happen the next, you know, what formation Rodgers is going to play. I think we might see a season where both Celtic and Rangers lose a few more games than they're used to in previous seasons. So it'll be interesting.
Well, even that's changed quickly, Roger, because I think in the summer everybody was saying that barely anyone would take points off them and it would be the games against each other. We're 21st of August and we've got them both dropping points.
Yeah, though. And they've both lost at Kilmarnock. Celtic have lost goals that you wouldn't have expected them to lose against Ross County and Aberdeen even before the Kilmarnock game. Rangers, we saw them in the Cup at the weekend. There were eight changes, admittedly, Gordon, but they were sluggish against Morton. They fell behind against Morton and they needed a reaction. So they're not flying either. It'll be interesting to see whether, you know, not just Kilmarnock, your Motherwell, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, can they take points off?
Thank you very much to Peter. Just very quickly, Charlie, we've got to the end of the show. I've not put you in the spot yet. What are you up to? You've obviously left Dundee United. What are your plans? Are you still wanting to play? Has that come to an end?
I'm not sure. I'm still deciding. I've got a few days to make up my mind. I've said it before. I don't want to sign my team half-heartedly. Wherever I go, I want to give 100%. And it's up to me to make that decision whether I'm fully behind it and fully still up for playing. If not, I probably want to move into the coaching side of it. But it's a big decision to make. It's all you've known for your whole life since you left school. So to make the decisions difficult, and that's why I'm giving myself time. So hopefully in the next few days it'll be clearer for me, and I'll be able to make my mind up whether I want to continue playing or whether I want to move into coaching.
So there is an option there somewhere for you to keep
there
playing.
There's an option there for me, and I've said that I just need a bit of time. But I realise that football moves quickly and teams want to move on, so I need to get moving quickly.
Right, let's go to the teaser. You've got one more to give me of a player that scored for a Scottish team against an English team in Europe. You've got Arfield, Ferguson, Roberts, Dembele, Templeton, Donati, McDonald, Nakamura and Vinegar of Hesselink.
Stab in the dark, that's his old pal, Callum Patterson.
No.
What if he'd get a goal for Hearts?
Against?
The notion of somebody, did he play Tottenham?
It's not the right one, I think they did actually, but that's not on the list here. So Lewis Ferguson, Burnley, Aberdeen. But who else scored for Aberdeen?
Ramirez.
No. Before that, wasn't it? I'm trying to think if you've ever played with. Yeah, you would. A former teammate of yours.
I'm going to shout names
at
then.
Celtic.
Oh.
He arrived with his pal from.
Gary Mackay Friesen.
There we are. Thank you very much to Charlie McGrew. Hopefully we'll see him again. And Roger Hanna, thanks for all your calls and your tweets. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock with Mark and Gordon.